sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you've chosen to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. One of the things that we do, because you matter, is we try to bring you as much information as we can in as many different formats on as many different topics as we can. This Saturday is going to be a very special time. This Saturday will be something that we're calling Seminar Saturday. Now, what we are going to do, see, I used to do live seminars. They were televised live, and some people took advantage of that, and you know, they saw them when we did them live. We captured those, and there were people who said, "Ah, well, you know, it'll be back in another week or two. They'll play it," and so I don't need to buy a ticket. Didn't happen, did it? Well, after all this time, three of the very popular seminars that we did are going to be presented. We're going to play the captured files of the seminars. And you will see everything just as if you had been here when we did it live. We're going to do Mars, the Fading Fog. And that's very well worth watching. All of them are. We're also going to be airing Gods in the Garden. That was the very first live seminar that I did. And I think that was in, 2008. Somewhere back in there. And so we'll be televising that. And we're also going to be televising Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. I have said this previously, let me say it again. If you think you know anything about Nephilim because you read a few books you bought off of the internet, trust me, you don't. Trust me, unless someone has come out with a book in the last 3 or 4 weeks that hit it, you've read mainly conjecture and fiction. And you think you know what an angel is? Unless you've seen this seminar, I almost can guarantee you have no idea what an angel is. Now, how do I know this? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I can read. And I don't let people just throw junk in my mind. And that's how I know. And I'm going to share it with you, and you can look and see the documents and see for yourself, and you will know. And so you will no longer have to be in the bleachers with the believers. All right? You can be out on the playing field with those who know. All three seminars, we're going to air those. And you have to have a ticket. Ticket is $10. It's easy to get. Takes about 2 minutes for you to get the ticket. go over to my website and click the banner right at the top there that says Seminar Saturday. Get your ticket. This ain't coming back. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we are coming back. All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And every time this happens, I'll tell you what it is in just a moment, but every time it happens, I get flash messages, I get email, people frantic. On the radio channel, for some reason, it's broadcasting mono instead of stereo. I don't know why, and I cannot fix it. Okay, so that's just how it is until the music plays. When the music plays, what happens? Well, you get it in stereo. If I could solve that mystery for you, I would. But this is the show where we dive into the world of the strange and the unexplained. So that will just add a little extra spice and flavor for those of you who are listening on radio. For those who are watching the show, you're getting it in stereo and you're you do not experience what I'm talking about. So we no idea. It just happens sometimes, and then it fixes itself. All right. What do you know about super soldiers? Well, if you've been a fan of this show for a pretty good length of time, you know that I have had a number of them as guests, guys who say they are part, were part of the super soldier program that is buried way down deep in the dark recesses somewhere of the government, military industrial complex world. And you know, we've talked to several of them, and we've asked a lot of questions, and some of you listening to me called in and you asked questions of these people. Well, Lee Bracker is an investigative journalist, freelance investigative journalist. He too has been on the show. You may remember when we did the show where we talked about the pyramid and temple structure and so forth in the Grand Canyon. That's Lee Bracker. So that's who's with us tonight. Lee has just returned from the Super Soldier Conference. It was held out in Nevada. And he told me on the phone in our conversation that he went to this conference because he really didn't know much about the Super Soldier program. And so he went there in order to learn what is it all about, and you know, part of his research, part of his investigative journalism. He is back home, and he joins us tonight from somewhere in the deserts of the Southwest. And Lee, it is really a pleasure to have you back with us this evening, and I thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Now, for those who are watching, Lee is in a, I don't know, a coffee shop or a restaurant at the moment. We've caught him there. And so you may see people walking in and out the door, and you may hear some background noise and so forth, but that's how it is. And but we'll be able to hear Lee because he's got his headset on and his microphone, so we'll be able to hear him just fine. So Lee, you went to this Super Soldier Conference out in where is it, Henderson, Nevada?
Yeah, just outside of Las Vegas, probably towards the east, and you can see downtown. You can see the strip from the hotel. So basically, I just call it Las Vegas.
Yeah, and most people do. It's a suburb of Las Vegas. I have an ex out there, as a matter of fact. One of the reasons I don't go to Las Vegas. But anyway, the Super Soldier Conference, tell us what, I mean, you got there, you didn't know anything about super soldiers or didn't know much about them. You got there. Did you have the opportunity to meet some of these people who say they are super soldiers?
In fact, I got to interview a couple of them, three. Mm-hmm. Two very intimately, and then a third one just impromptu, because she came in right at the end of one of my interviews with two super soldiers, and she disclosed something very interesting. I think we're going to talk about that tonight, and it has to do with the military abduction program.
Okay.
They call it MILAB or MILAB. Mm-hmm. That stands for military abduction.
Yeah. So who were the two that you interviewed, the two others that you interviewed, who were they?
Okay. Well, one that I interviewed more so than the other. Well, actually, I did them both equally, I would think. I'm working on a documentary, and I included only one. His name is Tyler Clark. And the other one is James Rink.
Okay. So these are names that a lot of folks in our audience would be familiar with. And then who was the other one, the female?
Okay, she debuted. She talked for the very first time at this convention. She's actually a bloodline to the Rothschild family, and she's got a story to tell. At first it was appalling because of what they did to her, and so she basically is against all that they stand for. So she's against the whole, mm-hmm. all of them. And it was good to have her there, but
What is her name? What is her name?
Well, she goes by two names. One of them is, she introduced herself to me as Erin Hicks, but she goes by Sarah. So in my article that I posted on my website about this conference, and shortly I'll be putting a YouTube to it, just got to finish it, I call her just Erin, quote unquote, Sarah Hicks. So she uses Sarah as an alibi, I would say. That's what James Rinks told me.
Okay. Now, I want to clear a couple of things out of the way real quick here, because we do have new listeners who didn't, they didn't catch those shows that I did with Super Soldiers where we covered this. So let me just ask you about the appearance, the general appearance of these Super Soldiers. If you were just walking down the street, you saw this person pass you on the street, is there anything about their appearance that would say, hey, that's a Super Soldier?
Nope, not at all. Just regular people like you and I.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because when we did this, when I did this bunch of broadcasts where I talked to Super Soldiers, most people have a comic book vision in their head of what a Super Soldier is. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's wearing all kinds of body armor that deflects atomic bombs. You know, he's got all these powers shooting lightning from his hand and things like that. That's not it, folks. That's not it at all. When we say Super Soldier, okay, first of all, everybody in the audience, imagine what I just described. Imagine that, because that's what is in most people's minds when you say Super Soldier. So just imagine that. Now, when you imagine that, ask yourself, if that thing came down the street that's in your head, wouldn't bells go off in your head and you'd say, wow, there's something up, something big is about to happen here, I better get off the street. Just that appearance would give him away. So that isn't the way you do this, all right? One quick example. The CIA uses many contractor people as operatives, field operatives. These are people who have been in our military usually. They do have some special skills, some special training, and then they go, CIA puts them through special training, but they are field operatives. Nevertheless, they don't work for the CIA. They're private contractors under contract to the CIA. And there's a bunch of these people, a whole bunch of these people. Percentage-wise, it's probably, I think I read somewhere, 30% of the field operatives are contractors. So when I was overseas, Bosnia, Kosovo, all those places, I didn't notice at first until the people, we'll say Kosovo, so the people from Kosovo would say to me, they would say, Chia. And I didn't know what they were saying at first. That's CIA. They say Chia. And when I finally figured out what they were talking about, Chia, I'd say, where? And they'd nod towards somebody. And sure enough, there'd be a guy standing over there, all, you know, glow-in-the-dark white like me, and wearing sunshades, pilot style sunshades, and a photojournalist vest, trying to blend in. Well, I wasn't really sure that they were Chia, but I finally checked, and guess what? Bingo. So people could see them coming a mile away by the way they dressed and the way they stood out from the rest of the population. The population into which they were trying to blend had them spotted when they got off the plane. All right, now, a super soldier who stands out like that would be spotted, just like his usefulness is over the instant. His, maybe not his usefulness, but his element of surprise is over the instant you say, oh my God, that's a super soldier. Then there's no element of surprise at that point. So that isn't the way the Super Soldier program works, based on what we have heard from people who say they have been in this Super Soldier program. All right, now, having said all of that, describe, just pick Rink, for instance. I know what he looks like, but just give us his physical description. What does he look like? Bigger than you, shorter than you, what?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me, Kevin?
Yes.
Oh, you're asking me how they appear physically.
I ask you how Rink appears.
Well, and he even described himself. He said that he's sort of like a nerdy kind of, without using that word, but he says, you know, in this timeline and in his form right now, he's just an average, you know, younger looking for his age kind of person, and, you know, not a cage fighter at all. But he says that his avatar that works on a different plane or timeline is 8 foot tall. His name's Agent Sabretooth. And big and strong, just like the Marvel characters that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So, but James, you know, he's a very nice guy, you know, very docile. You know, and both of them, both he and Tyler, they don't show off. They don't proclaim anything bigger than anybody else. They're humble. They're down to earth. And it was really a pleasant experience interviewing them. Mm-hmm. Got a lot out of them, too. And our interviews were more directed to the research that I'm doing, because I could use Tyler for astral projection. Tyler, interestingly enough, he looks exactly like Charlie Sheen. And when I walked into the conference and saw him for the first time, not even knowing that he was part of the Super Soldier Project, I almost, you know, turned around and walked out. I didn't want to be in a place that had been infiltrated by Hollywood people that work for the other side, and I just, you know, but it didn't take me long to really take a good look and know that it wasn't Charlie Sheen. Now, I know that they have, you know, they're clones, they're duplicates of people, there's this, there's that, or they even select people to do these projects along with another person that they're going to have elsewhere, like in the Hollywood venues. And
well, you know, you may as well be there no matter what. I mean, even if the Hollywood types are there, because I absolutely guarantee you every single conference in our genre is infiltrated. Every single one that has to do with super soldiers, UFOs, extraterrestrials, any kind of paranormal stuff, it every single one of those conferences, you have operatives there. It is infiltrated.
Unbeknownst to us, we had a gentleman there. His name was David Vanderbeek, and he had a bodyguard with him. And he went up there on stage to talk about being the next governor of Nevada. He's a younger guy. I'm 50 years old. He looked like he was in his mid to late 30s, maybe younger than that. And we all realized that he's being used, and that the person he was with was a handler, and that handler could possibly be a shapeshifter, reptilian in disguise as a human.
All right, at this point, let me point out for those who are new to the show, all statements made on this show are the responsibility of the people who make them. And so the opinion you just heard expressed is the opinion of Lee Bracker. And that's totally okay. Our opinions can be stated, but you need to understand that's his opinion. I did not see him. I do not know, and it's not my opinion. All right. Now, the reason I say that is if anybody's going to get sued for that, it's going to be you, not me.
Let them come after me. I could care less. The thing is I was unaware, and I didn't know any of this until days later. It was on Friday that the man spoke, and it was on the same thing. After he spoke, I talked to his right-hand person, and I shared information I really shouldn't have, but I had no idea until the super soldiers. In fact, it was James Rink that said it. He said it in that blog that you read. I had you read that today before we went on air, that it's quite possible that guy was a shapeshifter. So it's not really coming from me, but I felt it when I was talking with him. Something that was unusual about the guy.
What would you base that on? What would make you think he's a shapeshifter?
whenever I'm around people in person, sometimes on telephone too, I'll feel their vibrations, but I either feel comfortable or not comfortable with them, and I can't pinpoint it until later. But while I was talking to this guy, you know, I asked for his business card. He had none. I asked for Vanderbeek's business card. He didn't have one for him. I thought, well, how professional is this? And so I had to find a napkin to write down my information and pass it on to this guy. But he was sort of, it was unusual, Kevin. It was like, as if he was vibrating. Like, you know how you look at the flickering of a television set, six cycles? Mm-hmm. That's what I was seeing, but in real life. And fleeting moments of it. And I felt better once I was detached from that guy. And I thought, I've met somebody like that before. And I finally figured out who it was. There was a individual that was, say, a handler or a bodyguard, but he was posing as the husband of somebody who was running for, I don't know what position here in Arizona, but she came to speak at one of my meetings that I go to. It's a constitutional forum group called the Saturday Morning Breakfast Club. Her name was Gabriela something or other. I'll think of her last name in a minute. But that guy felt sort of the same way. They both looked alike. They both were bald-headed. They both had sort of the same disposition. And I didn't think anything of it until after going to this conference. It was a couple years ago that I had met that guy.
All right, we have to step away in just a few seconds for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on the other side of this break with our discussion about super soldiers and about this conference. And there's some pretty interesting stuff that went on at this conference. Very interesting stuff. So you want to be sure and stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Lee Bracker. And we are talking about super soldiers, and we're talking specifically about the conference he's just returned from and information that he gleaned from that experience. Lee, at the conference, how many people attended this conference?
I didn't count them, but I would say over 50.
Okay.
So you say that they're paid. There was like 30 some odd paid attendees.
Well, that's what was. Yeah, that's something that was reported or told to me. I don't know that to be absolute fact, but that is information that somebody told me. At which they volunteered it. I didn't even ask, so I wasn't even interested in that. I don't care how many people paid.
Yeah, the coordinator of the conference said that, and it's true because I couldn't get on their website. They were attacked cybernetically, you know, or cyber, however you want to call it. And there were people that would have liked to have registered, but they couldn't find the site or just wouldn't show up. And so they had problems there. They probably would have had more attendees if they didn't get attacked in that way. So it's just like Skype, you know, when they shut that down and that kind of thing.
Well, it's, you know, it happens. It happens to me. It happens to other broadcasters in this genre. It happens to other websites. It has before happened to Rents. I know. Who else? I can't remember. But, I mean, over the years, there's been a number of them that have told me that it's happened to them. So it's, you know, it's not isolated to just this show. It happens all around the genre. Okay, so let's talk about the attendees. Just your general observation, what kind of folks attended this conference?
Well, there were mainly people that are involved. Very few outsiders. I was an outsider. There's another guy that I met there that, or actually a couple of them. I would say that there were more speakers and participants than there were general public going there. And if I could be mistaken, it could have been half and half. But because it was such a small conference and it went over the course of 3 days, a Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday, it had quite a number of speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And their wives and their children and their, you know, that kind of thing.
Would you consider yourself to be an irritating individual?
Yeah.
In fact, you got kicked out of this conference.
Yeah, I did.
What happened?
I was getting myself in trouble. Well,
yeah, don't name names, but why were you kicked out of this conference?
I think that the people that I had problems with were irritable just because of lack of sleep, and that played a part in it. I know that one of my very, very good friends, who I was struggling to support. This is her debut at the conference for the topic that she speaks on. Now, she's been on, she's been interviewed by Carrie Cassidy and Project Camelot and various other people. Not a lot, but she has been out there voicing her topic, which happens to be the Human Genome Project. It's in regards to human cloning and mapping of the human genome and sequencing of that. Mm-hmm. That was covered up by the Dolly the Sheep story, but it happened to be a human clone. That's Cindy Marie Brewer. And she, I know, was pretty tired and all that kind of stuff. And, well, I won't go too far into it. But the thing is that I think they were also affected by the targeted individuals by my lab, the military abduction.
Yeah, but let's talk about what was the basis that they said, this is why you're being kicked out?
They had none. They had none. They just didn't want any confrontation. I was not confrontational. And all I did was ask questions. You know, why am I being targeted by them? See, I was affected by those that were affected, plus the fact that they were all pretty tired from the coordinator, the organizer, putting on the conference, being torn in different directions, and, you know, it's just a myriad of different things.
So
soldiers that I talked with were affected by it, but
there was no confrontation, though, between you and these folks. Okay. So they call security and tell them to dump you out the door, right?
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much, and it was without discussion. They didn't want to take me in private and work it out, you know, so that all three of us could come to a reasonable conclusion and just go from there. I was willing to, you know, knock off anyway because I had enough. You know, I'd seen who I needed to see, and it was just that Sunday that that I couldn't go. It was after the Saturday night, which incidentally for the viewers to know, there were 17 people that claimed that they were abducted during the night.
Okay, we're gonna get into that in just a minute.
Yeah, we will. But it was the day after, and it's probably a result of what had happened to them the night before.
Let me tell you that there are two questions that are very irritating to people who are trying to tell their story.
Yeah.
Now, I know this to be a fact because I've been doing this for so long, but you also know, because you've been on this show, that these two questions, anytime somebody is telling their story, these two questions I'm going to ask. One of them is why, and the other one is how do you know? By what means do you know this? Now, see, I already asked you when you said this guy was a shapeshifter. I already did it. I said, how do you know that?
I felt it.
But these two questions are irritating to people when you ask them. But any good journalist has got to ask these questions. Why do you think that, and how do you know that? And
shall I answer that? Or
no, we already did. So
I didn't, not fully though.
Well, we're going to move on though because I think you answered it. But these two questions are irritating to people, and I've been kicked out of some really cool places that way, and I've had one of the proteges of these people that you're talking about literally turn and run away from me. And that's not a joke. Literally turned and ran away from me. And everybody standing around looked at me and shrugged their shoulders like, what's up? And I had to shrug my shoulders. I don't know. I'd never met the guy before. It was my first time to meet him. And as soon as they said my name, he ran. And he's famous. You know who I'm talking about, but we're not going to mention that on the air here, you know who it is. So it's sometimes a badge of honor to get kicked out of places.
Well, the people that I interviewed with and those that I talked with that I didn't interview, they understood. And so they are in support of what I do, who I am and what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
They'll understand that I'm trying to do good for the world. I'm just like you, and it's those that you know, feel like they're in control, they get afraid, and so they rely on the authorities, those very same people that they are against. They'll use them just for their own self-serving purposes, just to keep themselves safe. And I think that's why they did that. They didn't want to go toe-to-toe in a pleasant discussion, because I'm a pleasant guy when it comes to rational thought and, you know, working things out. That's something they didn't want to do.
All right,
not even for a minute. But everything that had happened was verified afterwards, so it was just not me looking at this stuff and making claims that there's a shapeshifter. I was unaware until I was told, and then it just validated how I felt.
All right,
you know, things like that.
Let me suggest another reason that you're talking about lack of sleep, but there's another reason that we got to throw into the mix, and that is this conference, according to James Rink on his blog, lost $7,000. And, you know, if you're the people that have organized this conference and you're looking at, man, I'm about to have to come up with all this cash, and we didn't get the income we thought we were going to get, you're under a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. And so all that pressure could be part of the deal. So let's talk about, James Rink in his blog brings this up. But let's talk about what he wrote in his blog. First of all, he's one of the super soldiers appearing at the conference. Did you get to hear him speak at the conference?
Oh, yeah. They spoke on the very first night, which was Friday night.
And what did he speak about?
Basically the same things that he does on his any interview that he's done before. He told his story, what happened and what it's like now, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even really recall what he talked about, other than just the basics, what he was used for, and how he's coming to terms with it and trying to rise above and being on our side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Tyler. I could speak on those two just because I interviewed them.
Well, I want to stick with Rink for a moment, and we'll come back to Tyler. So, okay, so James Rink is one of the super soldiers at the conference. You heard him speak. You interviewed him personally. And then he's written a blog, which, by the way, folks can read, supersoldiertalk.com. So go to supersoldiertalk.com, and you'll see blog entries. Go down to May 24th, and that's where you will see what we're talking about here. It's his response to someone else's posting. And he talks about this conference, and he says something really, really amazing there. He says that some of the people at the conference were actually abducted during the conference. Tell us about that.
And that's what they claim. And I was there. I get up earlier than anybody and get my breakfast, my coffee from Starbucks, and sit there at the coffee shop or the bar, restaurant, or at the restaurant, eat breakfast, whatever I did on different nights or mornings. And then I go all the way into the evening, late, and I get to meet people and talk to them. And so I'm hearing individuals speak about what happened to them, and they haven't even spoken with other people, but I'm listening to other people as I move on, saying the same thing. So they didn't all converge together and say, this is what we're going to tell people at the conference, what happened to us being abducted, and let's go by this script. I could tell it's not how it happened. So I would suspect what happened actually did the way Rink says it on his blog.
All right, well, tell us what he says.
Like, what do you want to know? Because
I want to know the story. What does he say? What does he say happened?
Well, I can't look at my notes.
No, you know the story. Tell us from your mind.
Okay, from what I remember him saying is that while they were all sleeping, my lab materialized, they stopped time. The way he says describes it is they stopped space and time. Materialized in their rooms, and then they wrestled them to submission. And some of them described being scratched on the back, that was Tyler Clark, bruised on the lips, that they had needle marks within their lips and on their bodies, and bruise marks. Aaron Sarah Hicks says that she was bruised, actually showed us where the hand marks, like the fingerprint of the bruising on her arm were, and they matched up as if somebody held her down. And there was some bleed through memories that Tyler Clark mentions where he remembers fleeting moments of being led down a hallway. That would be the 10th floor of our hotel. And I was actually in a room opposite of them almost.
Okay, now we're gonna have to step away for a break. And we're going to come right back after this break. And we'll pick up right there with the story about these abductions. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Lee Bracker. We're talking about this Super Soldier Conference that he's just returned from, and super soldiers in general. So, Lee, you were telling us about this abduction thing that Jim Rink says happened at, and he's one of the super soldiers, and he says this took place at the conference. In fairness, he says that this is reported but not confirmed yet, but then he reports the details. So I would assume that he was not one of the people abducted. Is that correct?
No, he was abducted, all right. I think in that blog, too, he says that Aaron or Sarah Hicks recalls in a memory that he was screaming in pain. They were all stripped naked, and they were examined by whoever it is abducted them. They call them MILAB, which is Military Abductors or Military Abduction Program.
Okay, so they were all hustled out of the hotel. One of the things that's interesting is that each of these people has reported that the lock on the inside of their door was broken. Why, if these guys could materialize in the room, could they not just dematerialize and take these people with them?
Either they're only able to do it. That's the only way I could figure it out.
In other words, the MILAB personnel can materialize and dematerialize, but they can't make other people do that.
It would have to be that way. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to break doors and cost.
What does he say about why didn't they just open the door? Why did they have to break the locks?
The way it's explained to me is that they're not very bright, and they live in a different, maybe a timeline, or a different era, a different technologies, and their doors don't open and lock the way ours do. If you recall, on his blog, he actually took pictures of the type of locks that are broken. Most people know what they look like if they ever got a hotel room. It's the big latch with the big U thing that comes over, and you could hook it up. It's not a chain. It's just sort of like a latch.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And the screws look like they had been yanked out as if they were pulled on. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Or they barged in from the outside and then pushed through where the things came undone. But I would have heard it. Everybody up there would have heard it and then walked out their doors to see what the commotion was about. But also part of their explanation was that they were able to stop time and space so that they can do this without being detected. So it probably happened in just a fleeting second or a split second, and they were out of there.
And where were they taken?
In reference to our time, huh?
They were led out
to a yellow van, and that's about the extent of it at this point. There's probably more information that will come out as they all collect it and put it together.
One of the problems with trying to deal with the information of the Super Soldier program is that, first of all, if it actually exists, and I'm pretty convinced it does, it's really, really, really buried under many layers of secrecy. And so there's really no way to verify or corroborate information that you get from people who are saying they are super soldiers. And yet, because of who some of these people are that are saying it, you have to back up and say, okay, there's the possibility and maybe even a probability that this program does exist. Well, apparently at this point, you got your headphones. Got your headphones working again?
I plugged it in to make sure it doesn't run out the juice. It's rechargeable, so it's...
All right, so that's one of the problems, is there's no way to actually verify the information. And then some of the things that they will tell you about the training sound plausible, because we know about MK Ultra and what some of those things were, and we know about that from congressional hearings. But then, whenever you start trying to delve into what they know and get them to tell you what they know, it's almost always recovered memories. And they, you know, and I'm not saying that's not for real. I'm just saying, how can we be sure that the recovered memories are really memories and not implanted memories or fabrications? How do you do that? How do you determine that?
I did ask that question during my interviews, and I don't remember who fielded that question. It was either Tyler or James. I had them together on one of the interviews. And it was when we were talking about Andrew Balgiago and his experience with Project Pegasus. And okay. The question is, did they implant the memories of him jumping to Mars or not? They may have implanted it, and he's just thinking that it really did happen or not. So that's always a question, of course.
Okay, so you went to this conference not really knowing much about the Super Soldier program. You heard what they had to say. You met them personally. You talked to them. You interviewed them. Did you come away from this thing with a strong sense that you were being told the truth, or did you come away with a whole lot of questions about whether a lot of this was fabricated?
I was skeptical, and to be a good analyst, when I research before and after I meet with people or read material and then further my research, I use that skepticism to kind of weigh the differences between right and wrong. And I also use my intuition. When I talked to James and Tyler, I felt very at ease. I didn't have any indication that they were bowling me over, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did with Erin. And it was only because she would say something, and I'd ask her to validate it or tell me. I'd ask her, "How does that work?" And how does? And she said, "I can't tell you." And with every turn, she would say, "I'm not. I can't tell. I can't say." Thinking, "You're here to talk. You know, why can't you say what it is?" And I was uncomfortable with that because I tell the truth, and I say what it is that I found. I don't keep secrets. And the reason for that is because I'm always considering the fact that I may not be here the following day for whatever reason. That came about when I was looking at the Gabriel Gifford shooting. It all started there when I had to protect myself. And the only way to do that was with suggestions from Kerry Cassidy, who I met for the first time on the telephone when I was looking at the BP oil spill, even then. And I questioned her. I said, "What do I do? I'm an unknown." She says, "You got to make yourself visible. You got to hide yourself in plain sight." And from then on, and after I got rid of my fears of all this, because I, you know, learning curve, trying to learn how to be a detective. That's what I do. I tell everybody what I know, just in case something happens to me. Then that information can be passed on. And that's why I have Dismantle the Beam, my website, up, put everything out there so that I'm not keeping a secret, because if I go, then my information goes with me.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, that website is dismantlethebeam, B-E-A-M, .wordpress.com.
Dismantle the Beam Project.
Yeah, Dismantle the Beam Project.
And that's the name of the website, but it's really fourthdimensionalrecovery.wordpress.com.
Ah, okay, I got it all wrong then. But I said it
with
conviction.
But if you do a Google search, you'll probably find it. Yeah. I always tell people, just type in "A Stargate is Born," and it'll give you my website right away.
Okay.
Right there at the top.
Very good. So it's fourth dimensional, fourth dimensional project?
Recovery.
fourthdimensionalrecovery.wordpress.com.
And I made a mistake. I didn't realize that making such a long name would be a hazard.
Yeah.
Website design.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can't get the name you want, and you just have to, it's already taken, you know, so you just have to...
And really it's okay, because very infrequently do people actually visit there. Turned out to be a good thing, and I wanted it that way, because I didn't want my website to be, you know, what do they call it?
Hijacked?
Taken down.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, if you're going to be in this business, that's going to happen to you. It'll happen every once in a while.
Yeah, because if they scrubbed it, then I wouldn't have a chance to put all the information that's very valuable about what I've done in the past year, which is the study of Hoover Dam, the Grand Canyon, and all the corruption here in Pima County and everything else that I do. Now,
all right, we're going to have to step away. We have a break taking over, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Lee Bracker. We're talking about super soldiers, and we're talking about the Super Soldier Conference that he has just come back from. He is an investigative freelance journalist, and his purpose in going to the conference was to find out about super soldiers. He didn't know much about it. So he went there to find out. He met some of these super soldiers. He interviewed some of these super soldiers. And so that's what we're talking about. Very quickly, before we bring him back up online here, for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you, and I'm glad you made it. And you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. And my sincere hopes, dreams, wishes, and prayers that that tragedy never happens to you again. Also, let me remind you that this Saturday is Seminar Saturday. Some of the seminars that people have been writing to me about and saying, when are you going to do this again? When are you going to do it? We're not going to do it again. Okay, I did the seminars, and if you missed it, you missed it. But you can see the captured video of those seminars this Saturday. Three of them, Mars, the Fading Fog, Gods in the Garden, Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. All three, $10. Not $10 each, $10 gets you all three. We're going to play them back to back. When we're through, we'll take about a 15 or 20 minute break, and then we'll start them again. And so we're doing that because maybe you miss one because you got something you got to do. So you miss one of them. Right, you still have a chance to see it. Or maybe you live in a time zone where that first time around was not convenient for you. So, you know, we're trying to make it as convenient as possible and as available as possible to everybody. And if you think, I'll just hang on because they'll do this again in another 2 or 3 weeks. It's been years since I did the conferences, or since I did the seminars. It will be a very long time, probably on the show's 50th anniversary, we may do that. So, you know, if you want to get this information, now's the time. Ticket sales until noon on Friday, and then it closes. And when it closes, it closes. And there won't be any late registration. Okay, so you got to do it. If you're going to do it, do it. And the way you do it, go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Right across your screen is a banner that says Seminar Saturday. And you click that. And that will take you to the entire, you know, buy your ticket and register process. It takes about 2 minutes. It's all very automatic. And so just get your ticket and then check your email, okay? After you finish at PayPal, don't just close the page. It's going to take you back to another page for you to register. So after you finish at PayPal and buy your ticket, wait. It's going to take you to the registration page, all right? All right, back to our guest and our discussion. And also, let me say, I'm going to open up the telephone line so that our audience can join the conversation. Lee, are you ready to take some telephone calls?
Perhaps we ought to talk about Tyler Clark a little bit.
We'll do that in a moment. We have a call on hold, so let's take that, and then we'll come back to Tyler Clark. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Hang on just a moment. All right, now try it. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm going to go a little off topic for a brief moment and just say that if you haven't seen these seminars, I have. And they're worth it. They're worth far more than $10. So if you haven't seen it, go for it.
Thank you.
Now, Lee, I have a question for you. These super soldiers you interviewed, did any of them mention being trained to interact with the energies of creation or what have you?
No, not with me. They may have with other people if that indeed is what they do, but
yeah, we can barely hear you now, Lee.
Okay. I was pushing my headset to my ear so I could hear. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that no, they didn't mention anything about that. Not in my interviews with them, nor my off camera discussions. What I did, though, is I asked if they had military training, and both said no. Well, actually, Tyler said no for sure, and I believe that James Rink said no, too. They're CIA indoctrinates.
So they're trained for special ops, in other words. Maybe military, maybe paramilitary, maybe not.
Yeah, trained to do assassinations and things of that nature. Some I don't agree with, but that's what they did.
Sharpshooters, possibly.
I don't know how they did their hits. They may have been using exotic EMP weaponry. I don't know. I know that Tyler, and you know, we didn't talk about any of their operations. This is not what we talked about. It was more about, with Tyler, talking more about astral projection and his experience going to several different dumps, which are deep underground military bases. And so he got to take the tour astrally. And I asked him during my interviews if he would help me do some projections into Hoover Dam, because that's what I'm studying, as well as what we see in the Grand Canyon and various other things, because I've been on independent CSI cases. You know, some of the big nationally known ones, from the Gabriel Giffords assassination attempt on her life and the assassination of the federal judge, to child abductions and firing squad of a kid out here, former Gulf veteran, all the way to the, you know, not just the Sandy Hook, but the Aurora shooting, all interlinked with this stuff. And I want to utilize them if they're willing. And they said that they were. But I'm told that I have to give them a little bit of time to decompress from what happened last weekend, the middle of the month, actually, because we're two Saturdays out from that conference. They were hit pretty hard. And, you know, they're humans, just like all of us are, and it takes a little while. But hopefully that will happen for me. Because I really want to prove all that I have studied and researched and conjured up, so to speak.
In other words, they're doing what I would love to do. It's like essentially psychic spying.
Why would you want to do that?
I like information. I don't like being lied to.
And neither do I, but I wouldn't want to be a person out there doing the bidding of others, so I'm kind of glad where I'm at. I wouldn't even carry a weapon.
Yeah. Understood. I don't carry... I can't carry a weapon, but I would like to be able to find that information for myself so I can think about it.
Uh-huh. What I did was I practiced faith, where most people would be afraid to knock on a door, talk to, you know, high-level officials, thinking they're going to be, you know, bagged, zip-tied, and thrown into a black van. I had to get over that, and sure enough, you know, once I got over that, it was easier for me to do these things. And anybody can do it. You just, from what I learned, you got to keep visible and you got to let people know what's going on so that the secret doesn't go with you. That's what they're looking for, is people who are hiding. Mm-hmm. And then they could disappear easier without anybody detecting it. So I got a lot of people watching my back.
Good.
And I keep it visible. I'm always at places with surveillance cameras, and that's just the way to do it. I try to stay away from the smart meters so that they can't track me, and I'm always thinking about those things. So, but I'm not letting it get to me. You know, it would take another interview or show with Kevin to talk about it, but, you know, we did interviews with people regarding the Gabriel Giffords shooting here in Tucson, Arizona, and got everything on tape, and the feds didn't know this, so they got the AP, the Associated Press, to write a false article that came out of the New York Times. And so anytime we want to, we present that audio tape of what the witnesses actually said, because they lied in the paper saying that we attacked them, tried to gain entry into their house, and that we were abusive to them, which isn't true at all. They spent 33 minutes talking with us. They could have closed the door and called the feds anytime they wanted, but they didn't, because we had a pleasant conversation. So that's how they operate, but we have to hold some wild cards, pull them out when we need them.
All right, Brent, you have another question or comment?
Just take care of yourself, Lee.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for the call. All right, let's talk about Tyler.
We talked a lot about his astral projection experiences, and when I talked about my cases and my studies in various areas regarding pyramids around the world, we focused on that. And he validated a lot of things that I had discovered in my research, so that was helpful to me. But we did not talk about his missions. We didn't talk about, you know, he talked about how he's deprogramming himself. And I said that I would be more than willing to assist him with that because I do have a protocol for deprogramming people. Very effective. It works with extreme eating disorders where it evolved from. It's a rediscovery of the method by which people can erase trauma memories. Not the memories of an experience, but the trauma about it, which keeps us in a spin cycle. Just like a computer, we have routines that unless we unplug our computer from the wall, we can never get it out of its sluggishness. Mm-hmm. Same thing happens with the human brain. There is a way to reboot the brain. Very simple. And I have that out on my both my websites. And they were willing, when I described it to them, they were willing to try it. I hope that they do.
How long does it take, this protocol? I mean, if one of them gives you a call today and says, yeah, I'm ready, how long does it take for them to deprogram?
Pretty much immediately. And to recognize the effects takes a little time, but the actual therapy is very, very brief. It could be anywhere between 30 seconds to 20 minutes. Just depends on how long you want to make sure it works. But it's a emotional freedom technique, and emotional freedom techniques are very rapid. You know, the tapping on the cheeks and all that, which are localized freedoms from anxiety, depression, psychological issues regarding phobias, fear of heights, enclosed spaces, and snakes and spiders and all that. 20 seconds. Uh-huh. And anybody could YouTube that, just type in emotional freedom technique. But what I have is basically the flagship. It's been hidden in plain sight. We all know what it is. And when I tell people what it is, they'll roll their eyes and say, I already know about it. What people don't realize is that I rediscovered the actual instructions on how to do it. There are those out there that practice it with people, and they're hit and miss.
Uh-huh.
The only way that people actually get a hit is when they accidentally get into the precise position that it needs to be conducted in. And
all right, let's take another telephone call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, let me first of all reinforce what Brent said about those seminars. Man, oh man, are they full of information that will disabuse people of a lot of illusions they've been harboring if they will tune into them. I highly recommend them. And then having said that, then speaking of disabusing ourselves of illusions, Lee, these people with the stories that have been talking to you and you've been passing them on to us, you've mentioned a couple of times that where the attendees of this seminar were abducted. You mentioned that the people that got into their rooms froze time and space. You said that twice. If you freeze time and space, you're freezing four dimensions, and everybody that's locked into the third dimension is going to be frozen along with the freezing of time and space. Everything will be frozen, everything will be stopped, including the people you want to abduct. So there'll be no need whatsoever for wrestling, for scratching, for bruising around the lips, or for any of that. You know, because those people are going to be helpless and completely under your control, and you can carry them out as the statues that they are. You know, so that story breaks down entirely for me. You know, and another thing I would like to point out to any of the operatives who happen to be listening to this show, if you are a soldier, even if you think of yourself as a super soldier, you know, what is a soldier? A soldier is someone who follows orders. And those orders always come from someone else. So no matter what kind of soldier you are, or think you are, or whatever kind of label you hang on yourself, you're a lapdog. You're just somebody's lapdog. And I can say that because I was a soldier for 20 years. And at my age and in my perspective, I can look back on those 20 years and say that, yes, indeed, I was indeed a lapdog. So, you know, I can say that with authority. So, you know, the people that are conducting these alleged events and so on, regardless of what power they think they have or whatever they want to purvey to us, they need to remind themselves that, after all, they're nothing but lapdogs.
Do you have a question for me, or shall I comment on what you said?
Well, how about this question? How does that sit with you that they freeze space and time, and yet they have to fight with their targets of abduction?
I can only make an assumption.
Lee, before you do that, let me interject. Lee did not say that of his own. He's quoting Jim Rink, who wrote that in a blog article.
Right, which is why I'm asking how that sits with him.
Okay. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, I question it as well, as I do everything. If locks and doorknobs were broken, I certainly would have woken up. I was right across the hall, so I may have been frozen in my... and I'm a light sleeper. You know, I wake up to things like that. If they were not suspended in animation, then they purposely did that. I don't know why. I don't understand the technology myself. I'm just sort of like a passive observer. And I learn from people who have various opinions as well. You know, everybody's got a different spin on it. What I do know is I saw the bruises, and I looked in their lips, and I looked at, you know, where they had the needle marks, and I saw that. I don't think that they would do in that to themselves. So I don't really question how it's done. They did experience it, and so I look at that and then go from there, validating it as other people say, you know, like the UFO people that are abducted on one end of the world say they see this and they describe it, draw pictures, and it pretty much looks the same as some other indigenous tribe member who draws the same picture on the other side of the world, and they're not in communication. So I look at it kind of like that way. I'm a spiritual warrior. That's what I call myself. So I'm not fighting anybody by punching them in the mouth. But I'm using my intellect, my mind, and I can call myself a spiritual soldier as well. And I think that those are words that we've been conditioned to assume just by watching our entertainment, you know, from film to television, that they go out there and rip people apart. So that's how we look at it. We look at people that are conspiracy theorists. So now most of us think that that's a bad thing now. Oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. We're not going to talk to him because he's nuts. So it's guilt by association. I don't look at things like that anymore. I just try to do my work. I call myself a conspiratorial analyst. And I got the definition of conspiracy out of a 1947 Webster's Dictionary, a very good definition. I put that on my website right off the bat for people to read. That way the meaning is understood in the whole bit. You know, when I found the fact that pyramids do exist and other structures exist as an ancient city in the Grand Canyon, that they're not formed by a river, the power elites and the secret societies and their hidden information, they come out and they condition us to believe that monuments are natural. When you look at the definition of monuments, it means something entirely different. So if somebody says that they're a super soldier, we look at the word super and think, oh, that's a superhero. And then we look at soldier and we look at death, a killer, a trained killer. And it's unfortunate that we get kind of rolled up in all that. My feeling was that these were two compassionate people. And when I feel that way, then that's how I go with it. When I do my research, I have to meet the person in person. I can't just derive information from the internet. I actually have to make my way through and get there. and I have to use my intuition based on a personal contact with people, and then I can confirm whether I'm seeing something correctly or not. Incidentally, when I come up with a theory, and it's based on a conspiracy which involves two or more men, is how it's described in this definition. Where was I going to go with that? Oh, I come up with a theory and I immediately attempt to debunk it because I don't want any of this stuff to be true. And I keep going and going and going until I'm satisfied that I've debunked it. Unfortunately, I always find out the truth and that it's no longer theory, it's fact. And whenever I do have a theory, I call it a theory. But if I've proven it, then I'll safely say that it's fact. Was I able to answer your question?
Well,
hello.
Maybe. Let me help you out with something else, if I may, Lee. I don't know if this would be any help to you, but in this era of hypervigilance, you know, where we are all under scrutiny all the time, I don't think any of us are invisible. No one is invisible. There's no hole deep enough or mountain high enough to get to escape the watchful eye of Big Brother these days. So I think we can forget about invisibility. And so there's probably no need for you to skulk around trying to avoid smart meters and so on so that they won't know where you are. Because, trust me, they know where you are. They know where I am. They know where my cats are every day. I don't know where they go, but I know they do. So we can forget about being invisible.
I'm sorry to stop you there, but I've had to learn how to ditch Black Hawk helicopters and all that kind of business. And I was successful at it. And so I learned my lessons. I have to be careful because I don't know. Maybe they're not watching me. Who knows? But I'm not fearful of it anymore. You know, they have EMF. We all have a unique electromagnetic field around us. It's just like a fingerprint. So they could track us by satellite without RFID chips, either embedded in us or in our identification cards or passport or license to drive and all that. They could do it just by our EMF. That's the way I understand it. So, right. I know we're always trackable.
Oh, I know they can. But in fact,
to direct,
they attacked Kevin. Kevin, you remember when that happened? It's been almost a year ago. They came after you and you found these impulses that looked like narrowed EKG complexes.
That's
and
right.
I'm certain that was an attempted attack on you. And
yeah.
It didn't work out, though, did it?
No. I have... Look, I'm not... There's no defense that's impenetrable. But I do have lots of stuff that monitors lots of stuff. And I pick that up, you know. And that was one case where, you know, we caught them.
Yeah, and, you know, once we realize that we're all right. equally vulnerable here.
All right, we have to take a break, Steve. We'll be back right after this.
Without your body.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Lee Bracker. Lee is talking with us about the conference, the Super Soldier Conference that he has attended just a couple of weeks ago, and we're kind of examining this whole thing about super soldiers. And on the telephone with us, I hope, still, Steve from Georgia. You still with us, Steve?
I sure am, Kevin.
All right. And Lee has moved his location, so, but I think probably can still hear us. Can you still hear us, Lee?
Yeah, I had to move outside.
Okay.
It was getting too noisy in there, and I couldn't hear you guys.
Okay. Good enough. All right.
So the lighting is a little bit dimmer. Can you see me all right?
Oh, we see you fine. Not a problem.
I framed it.
Okay, so Steve, wrap up with what you were saying, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, I guess I'll close with good news and bad news. You know, the bad news is we're all equally in the crosshairs, and the good news is we're all equally in the crosshairs. And, you know, what that means is the question no longer is, are you paranoid? The question is, are you paranoid enough? You know, because once you realize the situation that we're all in, given our current culture and the direction it's headed, you know, there's no need worrying about things. And the ones who need to be worried are like the ones in Stalin's Russia. The most dangerous place to be in Stalin's Russia was in his inner circle. Those guys' heads fell right and left, and they thought if they could get next to Papa Joe, they'd be safe. You know, they'd just make the boss happy and they'd be safe. No, they were in more danger than anybody. So all these alleged super soldiers, whoever the heck they think they're serving or whatever they think they're doing, you know, I sure hate it for them because they're in the most vulnerable position of all. And I'd sure hate to be one of them. So I guess I'll let it go at that, Kevin. I've taken up enough of your time. And another wonderful show. And I hope you do stay on the air another 50 years.
Well, if my heart keeps beating, I intend to be here. Though, you know, I'm going to be the Mick Jagger of talk shows.
Well, then I'll be the Keith Richards of call-ins.
Well, there you go. We'll just keep doing this show together. What do you say, Steve?
Sounds like a winner.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, ladies and gentlemen. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call to join this conversation. You have an opportunity here to talk with someone who is, you know, really on the front line of investigative journalism of this stuff, and was irritating enough, apparently, with his questions to get kicked out of the conference. Kind of a badge of honor, actually, because not because there's anything wrong with this conference, but, you know, you're not doing much journalism unless you're really ticking some people off. And you know, if everybody's happy with you, you're not doing much journalism there. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Lasha from Vancouver.
Hello, Lasha.
Hi. Do you know, I have absolutely no problem understanding that the ethereal world can affect the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any problem understanding that they could see scars or bruises or this kind of stuff. In fact, it doesn't make sense that they wouldn't. I mean, I've had experience with this kind of thing, too. And they really do stop and freeze things. And they're still dealing with your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And it does physicalize at certain parts of it. So, hello?
We're listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've had the experience where it, you know, in the middle of the night, clearly something is coming after me. You know, two guys that are clearly wearing uniforms, everything is frozen. Because I'm very strong in my mind, I sort of wake up in the middle of it, and I wake up with these triangular scoop marks on me.
Uh-huh.
And I know what they're doing. I can also sense when they're putting in a screen memory, because I've just had to deal with so much of it. And I don't have any problem understanding that there are physical things that will become... You know, it's just, you have to understand that the physical reality is only a subset of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness and what goes on in the universe is far bigger than the physical. The physical is manipulatable, you know, and of course consciousness and ethereal events can affect the physical. How else can we hypnotize someone to believe that they're bleeding or that they're, you know, some one thing is another thing? I mean, how can we hypnotize someone to not feel pain during a dentist procedure? I mean, you know, come on, we have to open our minds a bit more here. You know, this is the way I see it.
So what do you think about the Super Soldier program? You think these folks who are telling us all these stories about being a super soldier, you think this is real?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, there are times when I still hear helicopter blades, but no engine, above my apartment building.
You
and
hear
I
the whopper,
very
whopper,
aware
whopper.
Because mm-hmm. I've trained myself on a very mental level that I won't disassociate, and I will actually go into a state that's sort of a state where your inner vision is working.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I connect with these things, and as soon as they're aware that I connect with them, they go off into the distance, and then they'll come back a little bit later. So I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds nuts.
Well, you are crazy, aren't you? Aren't you crazy? I am.
I don't think she is.
Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I'm no. crazy. I've been told that many times. It must be true.
Relative to other people, we are, but we're the most sane people there are.
Well, I just know that these things work on... I think they have a great deal more sophisticated technology than we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is consciousness technology. And I think, you know, most of us live in the physical world and believe that that's what goes on. And that's what everything is. But it isn't. There's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they know this, and I think they've been studying it for at least 100 years.
It was explained to me, Lasha, this way one time, and I'd like to get both of you to react to this. What you're talking about was explained to me like this one time. You have a bunch of people in a movie theater, and the lights go down, and the movie starts. And for them, the reality of being in the movie theater is all up there on that screen, what they're watching.
Right.
When, in fact, the reality is in the projector. And they
Absolutely.
Are they
and
are
you know what,
seeing
Kevin?
The result.
There's another reality outside on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people in the movie theater are all asleep. There's a lot of people up that are awake out on the street.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about it, Lee? Hello, Lee?
I think that I am so aware and awakened that I'm distanced from everything, and I'm grateful when I do meet people that are on the same page
mm-hmm.
and are waking up. I don't know how else to explain it, but I'm comfortable with myself. I persevered. When I could have given up, I just keep continuing, and I trust.
I wanted to ask you how you keep those helicopter things at a distance. How you...
You know, I was talking about this with somebody the other day who had a fear of bees. Now this girl, she's been frightened of bees her whole life, and I was explaining to her that emotional freedom techniques can be helpful and that that fear would disappear. And I told her that I did it for myself, not using emotional freedom techniques because I didn't know what they were back when I discovered a method out of it. But when a bee would approach me, because I've been stung by them, you know how people, you see some a regular honeybee that won't sting you. You either run away or you try to swat it away.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned was that if I asked them to come near me and land on my hand or just be my friend, they basically go away. And that ended the fear of bees right there on the spot. Say,
this is a very, I think this sounds like a variation of a very sophisticated kind of Aikido move, you know, where you welcome the negative back into you because it needs to come home and it dissolves in a way.
Yeah, it's just affirmations. When we make affirmations, that's what you do to eradicate the, I call them viruses in the neural net, which create the block in our brain, and then we cycle in that fear all the time. Once it's removed, all the fear is just lost. We wonder why we ever got in that fear in the first place.
But they're relentless, these viruses, it's like being, you get rid of one and another comes, you know?
You might be interested in the article that I put out on the the treatment for mind control to deprogram yourself.
Yeah, I might be very interested.
You'll find it at my other website called veritascures.wordpress.com. You just go to that website and you'll see it right up front.
Veritas.
Veritas Cures, C-U-R-E-S. Veritascures.wordpress.com.
I definitely will, thank you.
.com.
Veritas is Latin for truth, so mm-hmm. truthcures.com, basically. .wordpress.com.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out.
Thank you for the call, Lasha. As always, very interesting. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, if you would like to join this conversation. Super soldiers, we've had some right here on the show. And, out of the three that I can remember interviewing on the show, only one looked like he might, could be, you know, really pretty trim and fit. And looked like he might could be a super soldier. But even he did not even approach the comic book view of super soldiers. It was interesting, a couple of... last week or a couple of weeks ago, I did a show about cloning and genetic engineering and called it Frankenscience. Some of you remember that show, and as proof that this is not fictional, I read to you a piece of an article where DARPA had appropriated $3 billion into the research for the purpose of creating a super soldier. Okay, it looks like Lee has left us. Maybe he'll be back.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
I got a wireless thing, but I got to move around because this chair I'm in is uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. All right. When we see him come back, I'll put him back on screen for you. DARPA has had appropriated $3 billion with a B dollars for the purpose of creating the super soldier, and it included the genetic manipulation, genetic engineering, to give these guys, for instance, the speed of a cheetah. Now, the director of that program was quoted in that article as talking about that sort of thing. And so it's not fiction. The program exists. The only question is, are the stories that we're hearing, are they true or fiction? All right, we're going to step away for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest, Lee Brecker. Is it, you know, I think it's Brecker. Is it Brecker, or am I mispronouncing that? Brecker or Bracker? Hang on just a moment. We've got audio difficulties. There we go. Is it Brecker or Bracker?
Bracker.
Bracker. Lee Brecker.
But it seems like I'm breaking everything.
All right. We're on final approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we only have just a few minutes left in tonight's show. If you intend to call and to voice a question or comment, this is your opportunity. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I do have a flash message from Kelly in Australia. And Kelly says, your beard, g'day mate, your beard is much darker tonight. And are you wearing different specs? If you will notice, the top of my head is much lighter tonight. It's because the angle of the lights has been changed and there's not as much light hitting my face. The beard appears darker. It's actually nowhere near this dark. It's because of the lighting. And the top of my head, it's pretty bright, but it's not quite as bright as what you're seeing on the screen. It's the lighting. But the specs, yes. My round Harry Potter specs, I lost them. They're here somewhere, but I don't know where. And so these are spares. Spare specs tonight. Lee, as a journalist, using your journalistic skepticism, did you come away from this conference with the sense that most of the people who were telling their story were being truthful, or just a few of them?
Those that I did see present, I felt were genuinely honest with the material that they presented. I felt that Cindy Brewer, the one that I had difficulty with, put on the best, and she got the ovation louder than any other presenter, and she did a terrific job. And even Carrie Cassidy put on a good opening ceremonial pitch out there. It's the governor wannabe out of Nevada that I bought into until I was told that he's basically being groomed for the position he's going to be in. So I learned things afterwards. He would be one person that I would be highly skeptical of, and I'm going to, you know, focus on that for a while. And the reason for that, Kevin, is because this Hoover Dam business that I've been dabbling in connects both Nevada and Arizona, so they need two controlling people as governors. You do know that the first governor of Arizona, George Hunt, was a secret society member. He died during the construction of Hoover Dam, and he was memorialized and entombed in a pyramid in Phoenix, and it could be visited, and it overlooks the Phoenix Zoo. So the governors, you know, we got a, here in Tucson where I live, we have a blood relation to the Rothschild family. His name is Jonathan Rothschild. His father lives here in town too, I believe, because they both ran a law office here. So Aaron actually validated that for me, because I've been searching for somebody to actually tell me.
Okay, yes, so let me go back to this governor candidate that spoke. I think you called him Governor Wannabe. Okay. You bought his story until somebody told you additional information.
And after I felt what I felt from his handler.
Yeah, okay, but how? But still, you bought his story. But how can you be sure that you're not equally being duped? Maybe duped is not the right word. Misled in buying the stories of the super soldiers.
I honestly believe, based on what I hear from James, or who did I hear it from? Either I read it see that that David Vanderbeek, the one who's going to be running for governor of Nevada, probably has no idea. And so he's compartmentalized.
Okay.
And so they do that so that they could sound plausible in what they're saying, I would imagine.
Couldn't they do that to the super soldiers?
I honestly couldn't tell you for sure. I go by my feelings, and I felt that they were genuine in what they were saying.
Well,
but as I continue with what I'm doing, and I analyze information that comes from other people and what their feelings and thoughts are, and I learn more about this whole realm, I'll be able to make my decisions by forming my opinions at that point. And like I said, I debunk everything I come up with. I feel as though it's my personality is such that I'm gullible. I'll buy into anything, which is good because I'm a good listener. And as the accumulation of information coagulates, comes together in my thought processes, is when I look at things at every possible angle I can look at, and I go from there. Keep in mind that many of the things that I've done are provable, so I eventually get to that point. At first, I could be duped, but somehow there's something in me that gets me to look at things realistically. So I'm human, and I admit that I am. There are people out there that think I'm walking on water, and it's not how I am.
All right. I think it is important for people who do what you do and people who do what I do to realize that, yes, we can be duped. But it's also important for people who read what you write and people who listen to this show to realize that we're just presenting information as we have it in the best form that we can put it. Doesn't mean that we're saying we believe this and you should believe this and this is the absolute truth. We're just presenting the information that we've been able to get. And the product of our analysis of that information. And, can it be wrong? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even remember now exactly what the issue was. But I did a show recently, within the last 6 months, where I said, folks, I previously did a show on this, and I took a certain position with that information. Since then, additional information has come out that has changed my view. And so tonight, I'm going to present to you that additional information and what my view now is. And I don't remember now what the issue was, but I did, within the last 6 months, I did a show like that. And folks need to understand that, if you do your investigation, you do the analysis of your information, you write your article, that's still subject to change. It's not written in stone. Is that correct?
I change my articles all the time. I go back in and I adjust things, and I try to write where I'm making my update and the date that I write it on. I've got so much out there now that I really don't have time to make changes. So I look forward to people writing comments on my articles, and I get very little of that. But I do need the feedback because I'm always willing to change my stand on something because I'm in...
We only have like 20 seconds left here.
20 seconds.
Well, we have less than that. We've got five. Hey, tell you what. fourthdimensionalrecovery.wordpress.com. Folks, get over there, take a look at it. And there's some really cool stuff there, some very good information. And I want to thank Lee for being with us on the show tonight. And Lee, stand by on the line. All right, folks. That's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.